everybody. Once again, from the Polo Grounds, we're all set to go in the second game of this doubleheader. The Cubs won the first game by a score of 12-0. The shutout pitch by Larry Jackson, and now we're all set to go with Jay Hook pitching for the Mets and going for the Chicago Cubs, right-hander Glenn Hobby. Starting lineups for this game, for the Cubs, Lou Brock will lead off and play right field. Ken Hubbs will bat second and play second base. Batting third and playing left field, Billy Williams. Batting fourth, playing third base, Ron Santo. The fifth batter will be Merritt Renew, and he'll be playing first base. The first time that he has played first base in his major league career, he's normally a catcher. Ernie Banks, who missed the first game because of an operation on Mrs. Banks in Chicago, has returned to the Polo Grounds. He'll be available for duty. Batting sixth and playing shortstop, Andre Rogers. The seventh man will be the center fielder, Don Landrum. Batting eighth and catching, Jim Schaefer. And on the mound, batting in the ninth position, right-hander Glenn Hobby. For the New York Mets, manager Casey Stengel has selected Jimmy Pearsall to lead off and play center field. Ron Hunt will bat second and play second. Batting third, playing right field, Duke Snider. The fourth batter will be Frank Thomas in left field. Batting fifth and playing first base, Tim Harkness. The sixth batter will be the shortstop, Chico Fernandez. Batting seventh and playing third base, Rod Caneal. And the eighth man will be Norm Cherry, the catcher. Batting ninth, Jay Hook, the pitcher. There go the Mets out on the field. They're looking for the final game in this three-game series. The Cubs have won the first two. They won Tuesday night's game by a score of 5-2, and the first game of the doubleheader, 12-0. Cubs now have a record of 24 wins and 21 losses. They're in fourth place, 4.5 games behind the league-leading San Francisco Giants. The Mets are now 12-9 in the Polo Grounds with their loss in the first game. They have won 17 and lost 30 so far this year. Well, as the Mets take the field, here's a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
I have this band, and it really swings. And we have this singer who really sings. We just finished playing for a nice bunch of folks when I discovered I was out of smokes. Someone handed me an unfiltered pack. Too harsh for me, I gave it back. And filters, they either taste strong or too thin. Them acute little singers said,
"Where have you been?" Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong.
Not too light. Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right. Well, the singer's still with me, but I got a new band. It's round and it's gold, and it's on my left hand.
That's right.
So now I know, and I'll take all bets. If you smoke all seven filter cigarettes, you'll find some too strong.
Some too light.
But Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Well, in case you haven't heard, the 500 at Indianapolis was won by Pernelli Jones. The time for the 500 miles, 143.137 average. Pernelli Jones, the winner of the very famous Indianapolis 500. The umpires for the second game, Ken Burkhart behind home plate. At first base, Chris Pelikutis. And the third umpire, Frank Walsh, at third base. Jock O'Conlon missing the doubleheader here today. He's out because of illness. So it's going to be Jay Hook with a record of 1 win and 5 losses. Jay from Grays Lake, Illinois, born in Waukegan, graduate of Northwestern University. He has a record of 1-5, lifetime against the Cubs 7-3, lifetime in the major leagues 26-52. Jay, a right-hander, now working to Lou Brock, a 284 batter. Brock, a left-hand batter, and the first pitch of the ball game is bunted foul for strike one. Brock, in the first game, in his first time up, tried to beat out a bunt. He was thrown out by third baseman Charlie Neal. Charlie not playing in this game. It's Rod Caneal at third. Rod defending against a possible bunt inside. Brock had a double in six times up to extend his batting streak to 13 consecutive games. Now the pitch by Jay back. A curve, a slow one. That's too low. One ball, one strike. Brock with two home runs and 15 runs batted in. Now the right-hander with a 1-1 delivery. Change of pace outside. It's two balls and one strike. Jay Hook, last year, defeated the Cubs on June the 8th. He stopped the 17-game losing streak, the longest streak in the history for a New York team. Now Jay back with a fastball that's on the outside corner in the new strike zone for strike two. Jay even now at 2-2. Final game of this three-game series. Now at 2-2. And there's a pitch inside. Full count now at 3-2. Tim Harkness at first base. Ron Hunt, the second baseman. Chico Fernandez, the shortstop. And Rod Keneal, the third baseman. The catcher is Norm Sherry, sending the signs to Jay. And the pitch is fouled back in the screen. In the outfield for the Mets, Frank Thomas in left field. He's playing the center field. In center field, Jimmy Pearsall. In right field, it's Duke Snider. The on-deck batter, Kenny Hobbs, and then Billy Williams for the Cubs. Here's the 3-2 pitch again, and there's a little blooper to shallow left field, very shallow. Fernandez makes the catch back on the outfield grass for out number one. While we wait for Ken Hobbs to come up, we'll pause for station identification.
This is WAVC. WGY Schenectady.
From the Polo Grounds. One out in this second game. Cubs are batting. They won the first game by a score of 12-0. And the batter is Kenny Hobbs, a right-hand batter, and he looks to the fastball for strike one. Hobbs had a home run, the only home run of the game in the opener, and he also had a base hit, driving in two runs. Now he takes a changeup inside, 1-1. So his two hits, raising his average to .280, his home run is fifth of the year. Curveball, a good one that breaks over. 1-2. Hobbs looking. Hobbs with his base hit in the fourth inning, an inning which saw the Cubs score 10 runs, extended his consecutive game batting streak to 7 games. Now Jay back with a fastball. It's just a little bit outside and low for 12-2. 2-2. The delivery by Hook is popped up in the air down the first base side. Hubs moving to first as Ron Hunt moves down the line, and he drops the ball in fair territory. Hubs going for a third now. And the throw does not come in. It goes into the relay man and by him into home. Ball dropped by Ron Hunt. It's going to be scored a two-base hit. He was moving down the line, making a three-base hit. He was moving down the line. Had a tough catch to make. The ball bounced off of his glove and rolled into the right field corner. Now Hunt arguing with first base umpire Chris Pelakoudas that the ball was in foul territory. Pelakoudas indicating the ball was fair. Now it's Tim Harkness taking it up. Hobbs on at third base, a three-base hit, the first hit of the game off Jay Hook. And now Hobbs with a base hit, hitting an 8th consecutive ball game. That will bring up Billy Williams. Billy, a left-hand batter. In the first game, he had 2 hits in 5 trips to the plate to raise his average to .283. 4 home runs and 22 runs batted in. Infield being pulled in. Williams, a strong hitter. No score in the game. The Cubs with the first hit. Here's the first pitch, a curve that hangs high and outside for ball one. Second game of this doubleheader getting underway, and if you're around the area, still plenty of baseball coming your way, and still some seats around here to enjoy the game in person right here with us. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Curve, a swing and a miss on the slow curve ball. 1-1. Williams batting from the left-hand side. The infield pulled in. Mets trying to cut off the run. Now at 1-1, Jay comes in with a fastball. It's just inside. 2-1. Here's Jay Hook with a 2-1 delivery, and the curveball is looked at. A good one at the knees for strike two. Jay had a good spring for the Mets this year and then couldn't get off at all in the regular season. He has a record of 1-5. Has been used in the bullpen as of late, but manager Casey Stengel using him as a starting pitcher against the Cubs. His record against them, 7-3. Now 2-2, he misses with a curveball, a big rolling curveball outside, and the count goes to 3-2. On at third base, Kenny Hubbs. He's there as a result of a bloop triple to right field. And now the windup and the pitch. Curve in the dirt, bounce for ball four, and Williams gets first base free. Cubs now with runners at first and second, and Ron Santo coming up. Santo had 5-for-6 in the first ball game to raise his batting average to .298. He has 6 home runs and 30 runs batted in. The 30 RBI topping the Cubs. Santo, a right-hand batter. Infield now drop back. They're looking for the double play. Runners at first and third. And the first pitch by Jay just outside for ball one, a fastball. At Boston, in the bottom half of the ninth inning, Basu hit his second home run of the game to tie up the game with the Yankees. Going to the 10th inning with the score 5-5. The Yankees have scored a run in the top of the 10th. They now lead 6-5 with Boston batting in the bottom half of the 10th. Batting against Arnold Early, who went in the game in the 8th inning. The Yankees scored one run in the top of the 10th inning. Terry still in for the Yankees. He has gone all the way. Now the 1-0 pitch. Curve outside, and it's ball two. 2-0. No score, but the Cubs here in the top of the first inning, threatening with runners at first and third. Mets have one out. Ron Santo in the batter's box, and the pitch by Hook. A curve that's low for ball three. 3-0. The on-deck batter is Merritt Renew. And Jay Hook now only a pitch away from loading up the bases. Al Jackson was the losing pitcher for the Mets in the first game. He worked 3 2/3 innings, giving up 8 runs while allowing 5 hits, striking out 5 and walking 5. Winning pitcher in the first game, the Cubs won at 12-0, was Larry Jackson. It was his 17th career shutout, his second of the year, and he now has 7 wins and 5 losses. Here's a fastball that's through in the inside corner for strike one. Ball dropped by Norm Sherry, the catcher, but no advance as the ball bounced right out in front of home plate. So Jay has the first strike, and the count now 3-1. Ken Burkhart, the home plate umpire, signaling that the clubhouse door for the Mets be closed out in center field. Jay Hook at 3-1. And he backs off the pitching rubber to move Billy Williams back at first base. Williams could be going on the pitch. Williams with a short lead. He does not go, and the pitch is hit out to center field. Fairly shallow. Pearsall is waiting there. Tagged at third is Ken Hobbs. Here he comes. The throw is cut off by Tim Harkness, and the Cubs have taken the lead by a score of 1-0 here. Holding at first base on the throw-in was Billy Williams. A sacrifice fly for Ron Santo, his 31st run batted in. And the batter now coming up will be Merritt Renew, who is playing at first base. He's a left-hand batter with a .500 batting average, 13 hits and 26 times to the plate. Merritt Renew with 1 home run and 6 runs batted in. He was picked up from the Colt 45s this year. Normally a catcher playing at first base, Ernie Banks, who did not play in the first game, is here on the bench for the Chicago Cubs. He was in Chicago earlier today. First pitch to Renew, a curve high for ball one. Mrs. Banks being operated on the other day, and Ernie flew to Chicago to see her. She's in the Jackson Park Hospital in Chicago. One ball, no strikes. Jay Hook with a runner at first base, and he misses outside with ball two. Norm Sherry walking out in front of the mound before sending the ball back. Cubs with a triple by Hubs and the sacrifice fly by Ron Santo lead 1-0 here in the top of the first. The Mets have two men out. The 2-0 pitch misses again for ball three. So Jay falls behind 3-0, and again it's Norm Sherry out to the mound to talk it over with him. No one up in the bullpen for the Mets. In case you just tuned in and you missed the Indianapolis race, Farnelli Jones won it, averaging 143.137 miles per hour. Here's the final score. The Milwaukee Braves 7, the Los Angeles Dodgers 4. The winning pitcher, Warren Spahn, he needed help from Claude Raymond in the 8th inning. The losing pitcher was Drysdale. A 3-0 pitch swung on by Renu and fouled away for strike one. Home runs by Hank Aaron, his 15th of the season, and Jim Gilliam. Dodgers now falling one half game further behind the league-leading San Francisco Giants. Hook goes to first base, but Williams gets back ahead of the tag. Here's a 3-1 pitch to Renu. It's fouled over in the third base side. Caneal makes a big run, and he makes the catch. Fine play by Rod Caneal. As his hat comes off and he makes the play after a long run right by the stands, and that retires the side. In the inning for the Cubs, one run on one hit, no errors, a walk and one man left, and the score after one half inning of play. The Cubs won, the Mets coming to bat. Well, a fine crowd on hand right here at the Polo Grounds. We'd get somewhere around 35,000. You know, I'm checking your way around the stands. You notice more and more fans with Viceroy's new slide-top case. It's really great. Press-proof like a box, but works far easier. It slides right open and slides shut tight, and one finger doesn't. It's the greatest improvement in cigarette packaging since the flip-open box, and it's exclusive with Viceroy. And only Viceroy's got the taste that's right. What do I mean by the taste that's right? Well, if you smoke all 7 leading filter brands, you'll find some taste too strong. Like the filler wasn't there at all. Others taste too light. They take all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Smoke Viceroy in the exclusive slide top case or familiar soft back. You'll like them. Well, the big hand you hear in the background for Jimmy Pearsall as he comes up to bat the leadoff for the Mets against Glenn Hobby. Incidentally, with the Dodgers losing that game to Milwaukee, they now trail the Giants by 2 full games. The Giants playing a night game tonight against the Cincinnati Reds. Jimmy Pearsall leading off for the Mets. He'll be batting against Glenn Hobby. Hobby with a record of 1 win and 4 losses. Lifetime against the Mets, he is 0-1, and lifetime in the league, 55-70. He's 27 years of old from Witt, Illinois. And the right-hander with his first pitch sends a line drive in the center field. Coming on, the center fielder, Don Landrum, and he makes the catch. Jimmy Pearsall with a line shot. The center field is out on the very first pitch sent up by Glenn Hobby. That ball well tagged. Jimmy in the first ball game had no hits and 2 times out. He was taken out in the 6th inning to be given a rest after the Cubs had taken a commanding 10-0 lead. One man out and Ron Hunt comes up. Ron batting 299. He had 1 hit and 3 times up in the first game. He was robbed of a base hit by Lou Brock in right field in the 6th inning of that first game. 1-0 game, the Cubs lead. Mets with one out in the bottom half of the first. Pitch by Hobby is outside. It's ball one. Hobby throwing as though he has a sore arm. He's really pushing the ball to the plate. He's been bothered with arm trouble. Last year was the first time that he had not won 10 games for the Cubs. He comes in with a fastball. It's high for ball two. 2 balls and no strikes. He appeared in 42 games for the Cubs last year. He had led the Cubs staff in 58, 59, and 60 in Cub wins. Last year he was 5-14. There's a strike called as he comes back to Hunt on the outside corner. Two balls and one strike. Bobby, 6-2, 195. Now back to Hunt, and he misses high for ball three, and the count moves up to 3-1. Three balls and one strike. The on-deck batter is Duke Snider. Ken Burkhart, the home plate umpire, Chris Pelikutis at first base, and Frank Walsh at third. Now 3-1 in bright sunlight. The pitch comes back to Hunt. He takes it. It's called strike three. Strike two, I mean. Hunt was on his way to first base, and the count now fills out at 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. And the pitch is hit out to right field. Brock moving to the right has running room. He's back in the warning track, and he makes the catch for out number two. Here's the final score. The New York Yankees in 10 innings defeating Boston by a 6-5 score. One time, Boston had a 4-1 lead. Yankees with a run in the top of the 10th to win it. The winning pitcher was Ralph Terry. He is now 6-4. The losing pitcher, Arnold Early, who came in the game in the 8th inning in relief. Basu had two home runs. Maris had one, and Stewart had one. Here at the Polo Grounds, Duke Snider steps in. Two men out. The Cubs lead 1-0. Duke batting 214, 0-2 in the first game, and he takes inside for ball one. On deck batter, Frank Thomas. Duke, a left-hand batter, and the pitch back is popped up and back a home plate, coming over the catcher. He waits now, and he makes the catch. So the catch made by Jim Schaefer to retire the side. And Hobby in the first inning takes the Mets 1-2-3. The score at the end of one inning to play. The Cubs won. The New York Mets nothing. Pittsburgh Pirates playing at Pittsburgh defeated Philadelphia in the first game 7-1 today. The winning pitcher Don Cardwell. Losing pitcher Mahaffey. Lynch a homer in the second inning with no one on. In the second game, the Pirates lead Philadelphia 3-1 after four innings of play. Ray Culp going for Philadelphia against Gibbon for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And don't forget that Pittsburgh will be coming to the Polo Grounds for the first time in 1963. They will play tomorrow night, a night game starting at 8 o'clock. Saturday afternoon, a ladies' day game starting at 2 o'clock. And Sunday, a big doubleheader, which also will start at 2 o'clock. Pirates playing for the first time, a four-game series here in the Polo Grounds. It'll be newcomers for the ball club rookie Bob Bailey. Also Don Clendenin playing in his second year. Two big men at first and third. And veterans Bob Friend, Vern Law, Harvey Haddix, and Roy Face. Face, one of the greatest relief pitchers in the history of baseball. Tickets for the four games available at three convenient locations. Downtown at Pennsylvania Station and Grand Central Station. Also right here at the Polo Grounds at the advanced reservation window located on the 8th Avenue side. You may make ticket reservations for any of the New York Mets games throughout the year at any of the Howard Clothing stores in the metropolitan area. And you may also mail in for your tickets. Simply write Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York, 39 New York. Box seats are $350, reserve seats $250. Be sure to enclose an additional 25 cents to take care of the mailing charges. Cubs with one run in the first inning now coming to bat against Jay Hook in the second. Game 1-0. And the first man will be Andre Rogers. Jay misses with his first pitch for ball one. In case you just tuned in, the Cubs won the first game 12-0, and they have scored the first run of this game in the first inning on a triple and a sacrifice fly. Triple by Kenny Hubbs, a sacrifice fly by Ron Sano. Pitch back to the plate is low, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Jay Hook, a right-hander, looking for his second win. He's lost five, and here's the 2-0 pitch. Hard ground ball to third. Rod Keneal, a good play. Crossed a good shift, and the out is made. Tim Harkness shifting across the bag into foul territory to take the play, and there's out number one. Rod Kinnear retiring the last two men. A fine play on Merritt Renew in foul territory, and then a good play right here on Andre Rogers. And the batter now is Don Landrum. Rogers batting 221 before the out. Landrum, a left-hand batter, takes a fastball for strike one. He's batting 193. No home runs and no runs batted in. 1-0 score, the Cubs lead. And there's a fly ball hit the left field. Thomas moving back easily. And he makes the catch for out number two. That will bring up Jim Schaefer. Jim, a 229 batter with two home runs and five runs batted in. Batting from the right-hand side. Cubs one run on one hit. Mets no runs and no hits. Two men out here in the top of the second. Slow curveball by Jay Hook hanging high. One ball and no strikes. Another pitch back. Finds a strike call in the outside corner. One ball and one strike. The White Sox defeated Cleveland today, 8-4. The winning pitcher was Fisher in relief. The losing pitcher, Walker, in relief. Hanson, a home run in the sixth inning with no one on. Change of pace, it's outside. Two balls and one strike. Well, three games in the American League. Yankees winning 6-5 in 10 innings. White Sox winning 8-4 in 9. And Minnesota winning 3-2 in 9. Pitch back to Schaefer is outside. A slider, three balls and one strike. The National League, Pittsburgh defeated Philadelphia 7-1, Milwaukee 7-4 over L.A., and St. Louis 9-5 over Houston. All those games already in. Now 3-1, a change of pace at off the end of the bat, a real spinner down to first base taken by Harkness on one hop, and he makes the play unassisted. So Jay Hook in the top of the second goes 1-2-3. And the score at the end, 1.5 innings of play. The Cubs won. The New York Mets nothing. Well, you know, you've heard a lot about ballplayer superstitions. But it seems to me that fans have just about as many. I have a friend that only lights up a cigarette when his team comes to bat. Another smokes only during the odd-numbered innings. Well, whenever you smoke, while you're enjoying the game, here's the way you can enjoy each cigarette more. Just make it a Viceroy, because Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right, and you can count on it. You smoke all seven leading filter brands, you'll find some taste too strong, just like the unfiltered kind, and some taste too light. They filter all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. So next time, buy a carton of Viceroy in a familiar soft pack or new slide shop case. Either way, fans, Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Bottom half of the second inning, the Mets looking for their first score of the day. They were shut out by Larry Jackson in the first game, 12-0. The Mets had a real threat going in the bottom half of the ninth inning. They had runners at first and third and no one out, but Jackson came through with two strikeouts and a ground out. Preserve his 17th Major League shutout. So far in this game, the Mets have been retired 1-2-3. Jimmy Pearsall in the first inning lined to center, a real smash, but caught by Landrum. Ron Hunt flied out to right, and Duke Snyder fouled out to the catcher. There's Frank Thomas. Frank batting 196 to lead off here in the bottom half of the second. And the first pitch by Glenn Hobby is a curveball lined on the left field line, but foul. Ball curving foul. Frank going for the outside curve, pulling the ball just a little bit too much. Strike one. Frank with three home runs and 10 runs batted in. Last year with 34 home runs. Mets playing in their 48th ball game. Now Hobby back to Thomas, and the pitch is high. One ball, one strike. Frank Thomas, Tim Harkness, and Chico Fernandez against the right-hander. And the fastball is hit off the fist into left field. Going back is Andre Rogers. An easy chance as he turns it in for out number one. Thomas jammed with a fastball high and tight, hitting a soft fly ball into shallow left field. Rogers going out about 30 feet in the grass to make the play. Here is Tim Harkness, the hitting hero for the Mets in the first ball game. Tim had 3-for-3 in a walk against Larry Jackson, who gave up only 6 hits. And the first pitch to the left-hand batter is a called strike, a curveball over. Tim raising his average to 276. That is second on the Mets regular list. Ron Hunt leads the regulars with 297. Now the one strike pitch. It's inside. One ball, one strike. Cubs have one run on one hit, a triple and a sacrifice fly. The Mets have no runs, and they have yet to pick up a base hit off Glenn Hobby. Now at 1-1, the ball hit on the ground at the second baseman, Kenny Hobby. The throw to first is in time for out number two. That will bring up Chico Fernandez. Chico batted 2 times in the first ball game. He came in the game in place of Al Moran and was 0 for 2. That dropped his average to 205. He has 1 home run and 5 runs batted in. Chico, a right-hand batter with a closed stance. And the first pitch is a slider that knocks him down for ball one. A little tough to see right now at the plate. Halfway from the pitcher's mound to home plate, the sunlight stops and the shadow starts, so the ball comes out of bright sunlight into dark shadow, and that's a little bit tough to follow. Also making the hitting real tough, real bright sunlight in center field, so the background is very glary. It's a pitcher's way right now. One ball and no strikes as Hobby comes back with a curve, a swing and a miss. Count now 1-1. Hobby back to work. And the next pitch is pulled foul. While we wait for a new ball to be put in play, we'll pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady 810 on your dial. The time is 5:28. The temperature is 74 degrees.
Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from the Polo Grounds. The score 1-0. The Cubs lead. The Mets batting in the bottom half of the second inning. Here's the pitch back to Fernandez. A swing and a miss for strike 3, and that retires the side. So Glenn Hobby has pitched to 6 men and retired them all with not too much trouble, picking up his first strikeout for out number 3 here in the second inning. And the score at the end of 2, the Cubs 1, New York Mets nothing. On a recent road trip, we got a chance to hear the Mets' new official song played in Los Angeles and St. Louis by the local musicians there, and it was quite a thrill to hear it there, but I'm sure you've heard the new official song right here at the Polo Grounds. It's called Meet the Mets, and if you've been listening to our broadcast and telecast, you must have heard it because it's played before each game as well as before all Mets home games. This catchy tune is now available in 45 RPM recordings. There's a vocal on one side and an instrumental version on the other side. To obtain your copy of the record, Meet the Mets, send $1 to Mets Official Song, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. While we wait for Jay Hook to work here in the third, let's take a quick look at the scores. Pittsburgh 7, Philadelphia 1 in the first game. In the second game, Pittsburgh 3, Philadelphia 1 after 4. Milwaukee 7, Los Angeles 4 in the single game played in Milwaukee. St. Louis 9, Houston 5 in a single game played at St. Louis. San Francisco scheduled at Cincinnati. The American League, New York 6, Boston 5 in 10 innings. That's a single game. At Kansas City, the Athletics lead Baltimore by a 7-2 score after 7. Chicago defeated Cleveland 8-4. That's the first of 2. And Minnesota knocked off Washington 3-2. Also scheduled in the American League and playing now out on the coast, Los Angeles nothing. Detroit 1 after 3 innings of play. The only run scored, a home run by Wood. Right now, we move along to the top of the third. And the first man up against Jay Hook is the pitcher, Glenn Hobby. Glenn has two hits and 13 times up, a 154 average. And Hook comes back with a curveball. Again, a swing and a miss for strike two. Bobby, a right-hand batter, batting 154. Here's Jay at two strikes. And he bounces a curve in the dirt. It swung on and missed, picked up by Norm Sherry. He tags the pitcher, and that is out number one here in the third. First strikeout for Jay Hook, and it brings up Lou Brock. Jay, in one game this year, had 10 strikeouts. That's the club record. Last year, Jay also struck out 10 in one game. Lou Brock, a left-hand batter, and he bounces the first pitch right back to the mound. A one-hopper. Jay picks it up and throws the first, and Brock, who had a 13-game consecutive batting streak going, is out for the second time in this game. Jay now with seven in a row. Trailing 1-0, he gave up a triple, a walk, and a sacrifice fly in the first inning for the only run of the game. Now pitching to Kenny Hubbs, the man who tripled. Hubbs tries to bunt, misses for strike one. Rod Cadill playing a deep third base. Hubbs had a real good chance there. With two men out, Cadill figuring that Hubbs would not be bunting, which is a good way to figure. Takes a lot of base hits to score runs with two men out. Now at one strike, Jay misses the ball going back off the glove of Norm Sherry. One ball, one strike. One ball, one strike. Kenny Hubbs batting at 285, and a curveball is just inside for ball two. Two balls and one strike now. Now Hubbs swings at the next pitch and hits a high fly ball to shallow center field. Coming in is Pearsall calling, and he makes the catch to retire the side. So for the second time in three innings, Jay Hook has worked 1-2-3. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings of play, the Cubs won. The New York Mets, nothing. Well, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Yes, sir. And that's the song that tops on the hit parade in New York again this summer. Seems like it always is, just like Rheingold is always New York's favorite beer. Year after year after year. Why? Because people like a dry beer best. Dry beer is naturally more refreshing. And Rheingold is the extra dry beer. Extra dry for the extra refreshment, the bright, clean taste that people want in a glass of beer and get every time that they order Rheingold. So why don't you give Rheingold a try? Order up or pour yourself a refreshing glass of Rheingold Extra Dry. Chances are you'll join the millions of people who sing out for Rheingold and say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. It's beer as beer it should taste. Mets coming to bat here in the bottom half of the third. They trail 1-0. They lost the first game 12-0. So they're looking for their first run against the Cubs here in this doubleheader in 11 innings. Larry Jackson pitching the shutout for the Cubs in the first game, a six-hitter. Going to be Rod Gineal batting in the seventh position in the batting order. He'll be followed by Norm Sherry and then Jay Hutt. So far, Glenn Hobby has worked the six men getting them all. And the first pitch from the right-hander is a curveball over for strike one. Hobby was acquired by the Cubs in a cash purchase from Memphis in the Southern Association. He had won 15 and lost 15 that year. That was in 1957. Pitch back to Cadill. One ball, one strike. Now Rod, the right-hand batter, taking inside. Two balls and one strike. 1960, Hobby won 16 games, but he led the National League in losses with 20. 1961, he had a strained back. He was 7-13 that year. Now 2-1, Keneal bounces the ball down to the shortstop. Rogers goes to his left, one hands the ball, throws to first base for out number one. 6-3, and that is seven in a row for Grant Hobby. It brings up Norm Sherry. Norm in the throes of a real big batting slump. He has gone 28 times at bat without a base hit, dropping his average to 086. He is at two home runs and five runs batted in. Right-hand batter in the first pitch. Curveball looked at, strike one. One-nothing game. The Cubs lead. One out in the bottom half of the third. Hobby back with a high curve. Took something off of that one. Again, it's taken. It's strike two. Cubs had 15 hits in the first game. They have one here in the second for a total of 16. The Mets have six for two. There's a fastball spotted outside. One ball, two strikes. No hits here against Glenn Hobby. He has pitched to seven men, picking them all up. The hardest ball hit was Jimmy Pearsall, as he led off in the first. He hit a line shot to center field, almost handcuffing Don Landrum. Curveball, a check in time, and the count now two balls and two strikes to Norm Sherry. Glenn Hobby shaking no, finally taking the sign, and here's the 2-2 pitch. Fastball hit through the middle. It could be a base hit, and there it is. Sherry getting the first hit off Glenn Hobby here in the third inning with one man out. And that base hit for Norm, his first hit in 29 trips to the plate. That will bring up Jay Hook. Jay, a left-hand batter, is batting 200, 3 for 15. Hook won a game, his only game, when he doubled in the ninth inning. And that proved to be the winning run when a pinch runner scored for him. And Jay looks at a fastball outside. Ball one. Ron Santo, the third baseman, right on top of Jay as that pitch was made. He couldn't have been more than about 40 feet away. One man out. Cubs looking for Jay to bunt to move the time run on down to second base and give Jimmy Pearsall a chance to bat. Santo again creeping in. Here's the pitch. And Jay takes high for ball two. Two balls and no strikes. And Jay looks again. It's ball three. Three balls and no strikes. Got a young group of boys marching through the stands, one with a base, beating it in cadence, and about six behind, some with bugles, others with megaphones. And they're going through saying, let's go, Mets. There's 3-0, and it's inside. Ball. No, it isn't. On the inside corner. Strike one call. Jay jumped away, and we got a late call from Ken Burkhardt. Can possibly hear that drum in the background. Now 3-1. Hobby back to Jay Hook. Norm Sherry in first, and a fastball is right through there to move the count along to 3-2. Three balls and two strikes. The on-deck batter is Jimmy Pearsall. Norm Sherry at first base. And now Hobby set. Sherry does not go, and the pitch is bounced to short. A chance for a double play. Rogers over to Hobbs. Hobbs to first base in time for a double play to retire the side. In the inning for the Mets, no runs on one hit. No errors and no one left on. And the score at the end of three innings of play, the Cubs won. The New York Mets, nothing. Well, after the Pirates play four here this weekend, the Milwaukee Braves will be coming into town Tuesday night, June the 4th. They'll play Wednesday afternoon, June the 5th. And if you recall, it was the Milwaukee Braves, the hottest club in the National League, who came in here the last time with a seven-game streak, and the Mets took four in a row for their biggest thrill. After the Braves, it will be the Cardinals Friday night, June the 7th, Saturday afternoon, June 8th, which will be Ladies' Day. All ladies admitted to the ballpark for 50 cents. And then Sunday, a doubleheader with the St. Louis Cardinals. And I guess we've been saying this a long time, but you never know with Stan Musial, it could be his last year in the Major League. Stan now with eight home runs in the 1963 season. Stan had a home run this Memorial Day. It was his 471st two-man run and helped the St. Louis Cardinals to a 9-5 win over Houston. So baseball coming your way this weekend, and coming right up here now your way to bring you the play-by-play, here is Bob Murphy. Thank you very much, Ralph. Billy Williams will lead off for Chicago as we go to the fourth inning. 1-0, Chicago out in front. Pittsburgh beat Philadelphia 7-1 behind Cardwell. They'll pitch Don Swall against the Mets here in the Polo Grounds tomorrow night. However, in the second game, the Phillies lead 5-3 after 4.5. The Braves beat the Dodgers 7-4 as the old pro Warren Spahn. When he is seventh of the year, he now has 334 lifetime wins. Don Drysdale was the loser. St. Louis Cardinals beat Houston 9-5. Ray Sadecki, the winner, and Kirk Farrell, the loser. Another great old pro, Stan Musial, hit a three-run homer in that game. Of course, Stan, the man, his eighth of the year. Ralph Terry, all the way to win his sixth game of the year as the Yankees came from behind, saw the game tied, and then won in the 10th from the Red Sox 6-5. Kansas City leading Baltimore 7-2 at the end of eight innings. Chicago down Cleveland 8-4 in the first game. Barry Lapman against Gary Peters in the second game. Minnesota beat Washington 3-2. They started their game at 11 in the morning. And the Detroit Tigers lead Los Angeles 1-0 after 3.5. Now here we go in the fourth inning, and the pitch to Billy Williams is taken ball one. They have x-rayed the left ankle of Al Moran, and the x-rays are negative. Next pitch by Jay, a swing and a miss on a slider. One ball, one strike. Jay Hook up against the heart of the Cubs batting order here in the fourth inning. Ground ball whacked hard toward the hole, taken by Harkness. He throws to Hook in time. A sparkler by Tim Harkness going off to his glove side to play a real tough hop on a hard hit ground ball toward the hole on the right side of the infield. One away and nobody on. The hitter is Ron Santo. He's 5-for-5 in his last official five times at bat, although he was retired on a sacrifice fly in the first inning. Ball one, outside and low. While he was hitting in the opening ball game, Al Moran had a ball come off his bat and strike him on the ankle. X-rays were taken, and the x-rays are negative, meaning that nothing was broken. Fastball over, a call strike. One ball, one strike. The first game today was nothing to nothing at the end of three, and the roof came tumbling down in the fourth inning. Cubs batted about 48 minutes, spent 16 minutes of the plate, and scored 10 runs. Curve outside and low, two balls and a strike. I'll tell you, the crowd has had quite a time. Naturally, they would have had a better time had the Mets been able to win the opening ball game, but their enthusiasm has not been dampened. Off the outside corner, ball three, 3-1 on Ron Santo. Three and one the count. Merritt Renou is on deck, and then Andy Rogers. Now hook over the head, the 3-1 delivery. Foul ball, back upstairs and out of play. It's 3-2. Mets have the infield back, and straight away against right-hand batter Ron Santo. Jimmy Pearsall straight away in center field. Now hook with a payoff pitch to Santo, and he pops the ball up. An infield pop fly on the left side of the diamond. On the skin of the infield path, Fernandez makes the catch, two down. Two outs and nobody on. That brings up Merritt Renou playing first base. He fouled out to Rod Keneal. Rod made a fine play to grab the foul ball right over against the field box railing. Merritt Renou, he was with Houston last year. Takes high, it's ball one. He's a left-hand hitter. 13 for 27. He's hitting at 481. He was acquired just before things got going in a swap involving Danny Murphy. Next pitch on the way. Fastball in for a call strike. One ball, one strike. Mets figuring Renou as a pull hitter. They play him around to right. He lays off the curve outside. Two balls and a strike. Now Jay looking into Norm Sherry to get his sign. The 2-1 pitch. A let-up hit foul. That'll go to the upper deck, but it's a foul ball all the way. Even count now, two balls and two strikes on Merritt Renou. Cubs one run, one hit, no errors. New York no runs, one hit, no errors. Breaking ball inside and low. Now the count is full, 3-2. Merritt Renou is the catcher on three. Jay toes the pitching slab. It's 3-2. Two outs, nobody on. Hammered foul, another changeup. He threw it on 3-2, and Renou was way out in front. Last year, Merritt Renou was in 71 games with Houston and another 37 at their top farm club at Oklahoma City. Ground ball hit down to Harkness. Knocked down by Harkness. He'll have to hurry. Throws the hook to Sanders out. Ball took kind of a tricky hop on Harkness, hit him in the chest, and he had to scramble and then throw to hook to get him. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. At the end of 3.5 innings to score, the Cubs won, and the New York Mets nothing. Let's listen now to an old favorite brought up to date.
Fine Gold Extra Dry Beer is the name of my beer. Brisk and bright, refreshing brew. Rheingold flavors clean clear through. It's not sweet or bitter, that's why folks consider Rheingold is the beer to buy, and Dry will tell you why. Rheingold Extra Dry has friends by the millions because it's beer as beer should taste. Brisk, bright, and clean clear through. Dry tells you why. Slowly aids for flavor. Rheingold's taste you'll savor. Here is beer as beer should taste. That's the reason to make haste. Next time you're out shopping, in a tavern popping, why not sing out clear and high, Rheingold Extra Dry. My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry Rheingold beer?
Last of the fourth inning now with Jimmy Pearsall leading off against Glenn Hobby. Curve is over, a call strike. Jimmy hit the ball hard his first time up. He lined out to the center fielder, Don Landrum. Now, Jay, Glenn Hobby looking in, takes his sign. Semi-low windup type delivery. Fastball outside. One ball, one strike. It's all over in Kansas City. The A's have beaten the Orioles for the second straight game, winning 7-2. A fly ball to right field, fairly deep. Drifting back goes Lou Brock. He's under it waiting and makes the catch for the out. One away, nobody on. The hitter will be Ron Hunt. Kansas City in the 11th inning snapped the Orioles' winning streak last night, and they win again today 7-2. Ed Rocco, the ace of the Kansas City mound staff, winning his sixth game of the year against two losses. John Wyatt relieved in the seventh. And Steve Barber was the loser. Barber now has won eight and lost four. Stock in the sixth inning and Stone in the eighth inning. Ed Charles hit a two-run homer in the sixth inning. Now Ron Hunt waiting. Ron 0 for 1. Bluffs with a bunt and takes the pitch over. Calls strike one. Ron hit the ball hard every time up in the opening game today, but had to settle for one hit. He had one extra base hit taken away from him when Lou Brock climbed the right field wall to make a spectacular grab. Now Hoppy winding. Down comes his pitch. Bounced foul off the plate back toward the dugout. One thing you can never say about the Mets fans, you can never accuse them of not being optimistic. Bunch of young fans of the New York Mets parading in the upper deck with a banner that says Roger Craig to start against the Yankees in the series in October. Now the pitch on the way. He had him tied up. It's strike three call. That's the second strikeout for blonde Glenn Hobby, and it brings up Duke Snider. The only run of the game crossed the plate in the first inning, and it was a somewhat tainted run. Fly ball hit down the right field line by Kenny Hubbs, broke off the glove of Ron Hunt, and after it broke off his glove, it hit his leg and went on down into the corner and went for a three-base hit. He then scored on a sacrifice fly. Pitch thrown to Snider. Curve is low. One ball and no strikes. You know, millions say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Right now, why not open up or order up a Rheingold Extra Dry? Next pitcher on the way to Snider. He lays off, and it's high. Ball two, 2-0. Cubs lead, 1-0. Mets sitting in their half of the fourth inning. Sally Hemus pacing up and down on the lines at first base, hoping to get some work to do. Now the 2-0 pitch. Breaking ball over a strike, 2-1. Night game tomorrow night as the New York Mets entertain Pittsburgh in the first of a four-game series. Pitching, 2-1. A line drive hit down the right field line of a stays for it. Gone. Tie game. The game with his eighth home run of the year, a line drive into the lower grandstand in right. Duke now has 397 major league home runs. Frank Thomas up against Glenn Hobby. Game tied, 1-1. Hits by Hobby, a fastball in the corner for a strike. So just three more for Duke Snider, and he joins a very, very select company. He will become the ninth man in the history of the game to hit 400 or more. Swing and a miss on a slider, strike two. Mickey Mantle was the seventh man, Eddie Matthews the eighth, and Duke Snider needs just three more to become the ninth. Two-strike delivery, a ground ball, base hit, going through the hole to left field. Throw to first as they try to get Thomas hurrying back to the bag after turning on the base hit. Not in time. And now Tim Harkness comes on to hit. Big crowd really giving its first big opportunity to release its emotions throughout the afternoon, and they are making the most of it. Frank Thomas getting a two-out, two-strike base hit through the hole into left field. Now Harkness facing Hobby. Kim 0 for 1 was thrown out by Hubs his first time up. Here's the pitch on the way. A high fly. The center field is way back there. Back goes Landrum on the warning track to take it for the out. He caught that ball on the warning track about 3 feet from the right center field bleachers. One run, two hits, no errors, one left on. Now four innings complete. The score, the Mets won and the Cubs won. And Snyder gets a standing ovation as he goes to right field. In other games, Pittsburgh won the opener from Philadelphia, 7-1, Cardwell all the way. In the nightcap, Philadelphia 6, Pittsburgh 4 at the end of 5.5. Klipstein relieved Culp for Philadelphia, and Fisk replaced Gibbon for Pittsburgh. Pirates are here tomorrow night, starting a four-game weekend series. Warren Spahn won his 7th game as the Braves beat the Dodgers 7-4. Drysdale was the loser. Henry Aaron hit his 15th home run, and Junior Gilliam hit one. St. Louis beat Houston 9-5. Sadecki winning over Farrell. Musial his 8th homer, and career-wise, number 471. San Francisco at Cincinnati tonight. In the American League, Ralph Terry went the route. The Yankees came from behind to tie the game, saw the game tied, then won it in the 10th inning, 6-5. Dick Stewart hit one home run, and Eddie Bersu two. Roger Maris won for the Yankees. Kansas City made it two straight over Baltimore, 7-2. Rocco besting Barber. The White Sox won the opener from Cleveland, 8-4. Eddie Fisher, the winner in relief of Pizarro, and Jerry Walker, the loser in relief. In the second game, Barry Lapman against Gary Peters. They're just underway. Cleveland scoreless in the first inning. Minnesota downed Washington 3-2. Pass ball over Tom Cheney. And at the end of 4.5, the Tigers lead the Angels 1-0 on a home run by Jake Wood. That's Hank Aguirre pitching against Bob Turley. Now the fifth inning here in the Polo Grounds, and Andy Rogers takes the pitch by Jay Hook for a strike. Don Landrum on deck, and then Jim Schaefer. Off the outside corner, one ball and one strike. Right now on the year, the Mets and Cubs are even. Each team has taken two. Mets won two in Chicago, and the Cubs have taken two here in New York. Now Jay over the head, the 1-1 pitch. Curve outside and low, two balls and a strike. New York, one run, three hits, no errors. Chicago, one run, one hit, no errors. Now Hook cranking up. The 2-1 pitch, a foul ball back into the screen. Count 2-2 on Andy Rogers. The pitch to him is swung and missed. He struck him out. That's number two for Jay Hook, and it brings on the center fielder, Don Landrum. Landrum, a left-hand hitter. Starts him off with a curve, but it breaks outside. One ball and no strikes. Rod Keneal playing in close at third to guard against the left-hand batter, Don Landrum. Ron Hunt on the rim of the outfield grass on the right side of the diamond. Fastball over at the knees. A strike call. One ball, one strike. Mets tying the game in the fourth inning on the 8th home run of the year by Duke Snyder. The 1-1 delivery. Swing and a miss on a curve. Strike two. Now Jay Hook checking with Norm Sherry. The 1-2 pitch on the way. Just missed. Sherry thought he might have had it, and the count is even at 2-2. One away, nobody on. Top of the fifth inning, nightcap of the Twin Bill. Cubs won the opener, 12 to nothing. They scored 10 of their 12 in one inning, the fourth. Pitching 2-2. Foul ball, high in the air, back toward the roof and out of play. Jay checks in, winds and pitches. Two highs, ball three. And we have a full count on Don Landrum at 3-2. Last year, Don Landrum had a good year. He had a composite batting average of .286. Combining the work he did with the Cardinals, 32 games and 83 with the Chicago Cubs. Pitching 3-2. Ground ball hit down toward Harkness. He makes the play. He'll make the play unassisted in time to get Landrum two down. Two outs and nobody on. That'll bring up the catcher, Jim Schaefer, acquired from the St. Louis Cardinals. He caught 70 games with St. Louis last year, or was in all or either a part of the game 70 times. Now hook winding, pitcher on the way, outside and low, it's ball one. Banner on the upper deck says, Forrest Hills loves the New York Mets, and the fellow was so artistic that in the word love, he made the O into a red heart. Now hook cranks up, the pitch to Schaefer, a beautiful curve that's over, a strike call. That looked like it rolled off the end of a table. One ball, one strike on Jim Schaefer. He's 0 for 1, grounded out to Harkness, his first time at bat. Fouled right straight back into the upper deck. No play in the count. One ball and two strikes. Now Jay checks with Sherry. 1-2 the count. On Jim Schaefer. Game tied 1-1, top half of the fifth inning as Hook winds. Now the arm comes down, just misses the outside corner. Two balls and two strikes. Jay has given up one run and it was slightly tainted. One hit, walked only one, struck out two. Pitching 2-2. Curve in the dirt, and the string is out, 3-2. Full count on Jim Schaefer, batting number 8 in the order. The payoff pitch to him. Strike, 3 call, the curve is over. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. So we've come halfway. Hook has now retired 14 straight hitters. At the end of 4.5, the score, Mets won and the Cubs won. Well, let's try to keep you on your toes now with another Ryan Gold riddle. Runners on first and second. The batter singles into left field. Now, the first runner rounds third but is caught in a rundown. Now, the catcher throws wildly into left field. But now, the runner trips and falls before crossing home plate. This is going to be a Lulu. The second runner comes along, helps him to his feet, and across the plate. What would you rule? Well, do both runners score, or is the second runner out for helping the first? Think about it. Well, they're both safe. It's perfectly legal for one runner to help another. It's only when a coach or a non-runner helps that the play is illegal. And after that Rheingold riddle, how about a glass of Rheingold Extra Dry? Now, here's a beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Yes, sir, Rheingold beer is so refreshing that the first glass just sort of invites you to have another. You find that out for yourself, won't you? Enjoy Rheingold Extra Dry along with us. Now, Chico Fernandez leads off in the last half of the fifth inning, facing veteran right-hander Glenn Hobby. Chico, 0 for 1, was struck out his first time up. Curve is over. Strike one call. Mets tied the game on Snyder's line drive into the right field grandstand seats. Thomas followed with a single, but Harkness flied deep to center. And it was really deep to center. The ball was caught on the warning track. No windup pitched by Hobby. A grounder hit down to third. Fair ball fielded by Sano. The long peg in time for the out. Now before Rod Keneal comes on to hit, let's pause for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady 810 on your dial, where the time is 7 minutes past 6 o'clock. The temperature is 73 degrees.
Rod Keneal, the hitter, facing right-hander Glenn Hobby. Game tied 1-1, last of the fifth inning. Hobby swings back. Down comes the arm, and it's popped up on the right side of the diamond. Calling for it is Merritt Renew, the first baseman. He takes it in very short right field near the line. Two up and two set aside by Hobby, and that'll bring on Norm Sherry. Norm singled to center in the third inning with one man out, and that was the first hit off Glenn Hobby. We haven't received an official crowd figure, but I would estimate 35,000 or more on Memorial Day here in the Polo Ground. Jay Hook occupying the on-deck circle. Two outs and nobody on as Norm Sherry hits now against Glenn Hobby. Hobby winding. His pitch thrown is a breaking ball. It's fouled off. Barely got a piece of it off the big end of the bat. It rolls on the ground straight back. Now the lights are being turned on for the first time all day long. We still have a lot of daylight remaining. Thanks to good old daylight savings time. In comes the pitch to Norm Sherry. He holds up and it breaks outside. One ball, one strike. On this homestand, the Mets will open a series tomorrow night with Pittsburgh, a four-game series, a doubleheader on Sunday. Play the Yankees in the benefit game on Monday night. Then the Braves come in Tuesday night and Wednesday, and then the Cardinals next weekend. Hit hard in the air to right field. Brock is going to be under it. Waiting, makes the catch for the out. Sherry hitting the ball to the opposite field is taken by Lou Brock, and the Mets are out in order in their half of the fifth. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. Here are the five-inning totals. Chicago, one run, one hit, and no errors. New York, one run, three hits, and no errors. Say, do you know what month this is? Well, you have to think quickly because tomorrow it may change on us, but right now it's May, all right. And more than that, it's National Tavern Month. This is the month that the brewing industry salutes tavern owners for their part in making beer truly our national beverage. And so the people at Liebman Breweries would like to take this opportunity to extend their best wishes to the thousands of taverns in the New York area who serve you refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. You know, they'll tell you that Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. They know that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costlier way. Brewed extra dry for a taste that's extra refreshing. So why don't you visit your neighborhood tavern and celebrate National Tavern Month with a glass or two of cold, refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. So tomorrow, then, will be the last day of National Tavern Month. Now the Cubs will have Glenn Hobby facing Jay Hook as the game goes to the sixth inning. Bob Kennedy and the Bruins will go to Philadelphia to open a series against Gene Mock's Phillies, while the New York Mets will be up against Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, the first time that the Bucks have been in town this year, when the Mets played Pittsburgh out in Forbes Field. They were mighty impressed with Don Clendenin, the first baseman, and Bob Bailey, the rookie third baseman, who got about $175,000 to sign. Now the pitcher on the way. Inside at the letters, one ball and no strikes. Bobby, 0 for 1. Hook struck him out in the third inning. Now Jay looks in to check with Norm Sherry. Fastball over for a call strike. Over at the knees for a call strike. One ball and two strikes. The paid attendance for this Memorial Day doubleheader, a whale of a crowd, 37,170. Outside and low. Two balls and two strikes down to Glenn Hobby. The total crowd in the park's at 37,860. So the new breed, the fans of the New York Mets continue to turn out in wonderful numbers to support their ball club. Now the 2-2 pitch is swung and missed. Frank Reed. That is the fourth strikeout for Jay Hook, and it brings up the right fielder, Lou Brock. Brock, 0 for 2, has popped to the shortstop, Fernandez, and been thrown out by Jay Hook. Now Jay over the head, down comes the arm. He runs up as if to drag a bunt, lays off, and it's over. Strike one call. Rod Keneal playing in practically on top of Lou Brock, who has been threatening to lay that ball down all day long. He tried so in the first time up in the opening game, and Charlie Neal threw him out. Curve in the dirt, he started to go, then thought better of it. One ball, one strike. Last year's Memorial Day crowd was a larger crowd, but the Giants were in town. Foul back upstairs and out of play. Well, the Dodgers, beg your pardon. Dodgers and Giants came in for 5 days running there, and in the 5 days, over 200,000 were in the polo grounds. Even count now, 2-2. Dodgers came in first. They made their first visit on Memorial Day. Then the Giants followed the Dodgers in town. Pitching 2-2. A high fly to deep center field. Pearsall's hurrying back. He's under it now in deep center. Makes the catch. He had to go to the edge of the warning path and straight away deep center to get that one hit by Brock. This Brock will fool you. He's got some real socks. He hit one in the center field bleachers last year. Until he hit his, only in the history of the polo grounds had Joe Adcock hit one up there in the center field bleachers. Later in the year, Henry Aaron was to duplicate the feat. Two outs and nobody on. Now in the sixth, here's Hubs of the Cubs. Outside and low, it's ball one. Young collegians parading in the upper deck with the big bass drum, and the banners are walking more than if they played 18 holes of golf. Low, ball two, 2-0 now on Kenny Hubs. College crowds have really been turning out for the games of the New York Mets. And they have been lending a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of vocal support. Now, Hook behind on the count. The 2-0 pitch, a slow grounder down to third. Keneal is up with it. He pegs on to first, and the side is out once again. For the fifth straight inning, Jay Hook mows him down 1-2-3. He has retired 17 straight. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. And now at the end of 5.5 innings to score, the Cubs won and the Mets won. Well, you know, baseball's a funny game in many respects. You see some fellows come along, they'll just kind of zoom to the top, and then suddenly they're back in the minors. I guess that's true of a lot of things. Take beer, for example. It's like baseball in that to stay on top, you've really got to have it. And I guess you'll agree that Rheingold has really got it. It's been New York's favorite beer for many, many years. And Wrangell's amazing popularity can be explained by two little words, extra dry. Now Jay Hook is up against Glenn Hobby. The game tied 1-1, bottom half of the sixth inning. Lined hard in the air to left field. In front of it is Billy Williams. He has it. One down. This time of the day here in New York in the Polo Grounds, that sun in left field can be mighty tricky. One away and nobody on, so that brings up Jimmy Pearsall at the top of the order. Jimmy has lined to center and flied to right, 0-2. Not once, but about three times since the Mets returned home, Jim has narrowly missed a home run by going to right field. Now Glenn Hobby into his windup. Now the pitch. Curve in the dirt all the way to the backstop. No damage done with nobody on. One away, we're in the home sixth inning. Next pitch by Hobby. Ball two, it's 2-0. Jay Hook deserves to be pitching on a shutout. Cubs got there running to first on a fly ball down the right field line that broke off Ronnie Hunt's glove, and when it came off his glove, it hit his shin and went about 30 feet into the corner for a triple. Now the 2-0 pitch. Curve is over. A strike on the outside corner, 2-1. Cubs feel they can match any team in the National League in starting pitching with their first three pitchers. They are hoping that Ben Hobby can make it number four. Swing and a miss, and the count even, 2-2. Dick Ellsworth, Larry Jackson, and Bob Buell. That trio has been pitching consistently good baseball for the Cubs. Hobby delivers 2-2. Pearsall lets it go. It's outside and low, ball three. And we have a full count, 3-2. Base hits have been mighty scarce. New York, one run, three hits, and no errors. Chicago, one run, one hit, and no errors. Here's the payoff pitch. Ball four, and Pearsall one. Hobby threw in a breaking ball on 3-2. Pearsall backed away. Hobby thought he might have had him struck out. He came down off the mound to say something to Kenny Burkhart. Hobby's control has really been something. That is the first walk he has given up. Say, wouldn't right now be a good time to pour yourself a glass of Rheingold Extra Dry? You bet it would. Open up or order up a Rheingold Extra Dry. It's beer as beer should taste. Now the crowd starts that go, go chant as Ron Hunt bats against Glenn Hobby. One out and one on. There goes Pearsall, swung on and fouled down the first baseline. Pearsall and Hunt playing hit and run, and Ron fouls the ball off. Now Pearsall walks off to grab his feet at first. Merritt Raynu holding against him. Cubs have the infield. Bunch toward the middle looking for two with Hunt a right-hand batter up. Here's the pitch on the way. A pitch out, but nothing was on. Jim Schaefer had Hobby pitch out, but nothing was on. One ball and one strike. Game tied 1-1, last half of inning number six. Now Hobby makes the 1 second stop. Here's the pitch on the way. Another pitch out, a throw to first, not in time. Hobby's control has been so good that Jim Schaefer, not hesitating to call for two pitch outs in a row. Count now, two balls and a strike. Pitching 2-1. There goes Pearsall. A slow grounder hit down to third. A fair ball. Off balance throw. A great play by Sano. Racing to third goes Pearsall. They left home plate unprotected, but now Merritt Renew breaks to come home. Oh, what a play by third baseman Ron Sano. That was a remarkable play. Ron Hunt made another one of those belly whoppers on a head first slide into first. Real close play at first base. Sano came charging in. Came up with the ball right on the line, coming in at full speed, and he really had to make his throw from an off-balance position, and he made the throw accurately in time to Renew to get Ron Hunt. Pearsall, who was running on the play, goes from first to third. That's one of the most remarkable defensive plays we've seen in a long time, that play made by Ron Sano, that he was able to throw Hunt out after coming up with that ball. And Ron Hunt, an all-out performer, made a belly whopper, a head-first slide, trying to get the first base ahead of the throw. Duke Snyder is up with two down and a runner on third. Duke hit a home run to tie this game his last time up. Here's the pitch on the way. Foul ball back upstairs, strike one. Play on Ron Hunt was as close as your household budget. They barely got him. Now Pearsall leading down the line from third. Big crowd alive now. Hobby winding. The pitch to Snyder. Line drive in the air to center field. It might be a base hit. It is. And the score, Pearsall. Singles to center, and the Mets lead 2-1. Snyder has now driven in both New York runs, his 18th and 19th RBIs of the year, and the batter up is Frank Thomas. Landrum was playing Duke very deep in center field, and Duke hit one down towards the end of the bat. A line drive to short center for a clean hit to score the run. Now Hobby checks the runner at first, Thomas batting. Frank got a two-out, two-strike single to left his last time up. Fastball in the outside corner, strike one call. Mets two and the Cubs one in the last half of the sixth inning. Frank Thomas standing right on top of the plate. Pushes that bat through, waiting on Hobby. Now the pitch on the way. Foul ball. He hit a curve back up into the upper deck. Strike two. Duke Snyder now a single and a home run and three times up, and Duke has driven both of the New York runs in. Mets two and the Cubs one. Thomas behind on the count, two strikes. In comes the pitch. Way outside, he wouldn't be tempted. One ball and two strikes. Only a superb play by third baseman Ron Sano has kept the Mets from doing even more so far here in the inning. Now the stretch by Hobby. The pitch to Thomas. A foul pop-up toward the backstop. No play for Jim Schaefer. And the count remains one ball and two strikes. Tim Harkness in the on-deck circle, hoping that Thomas can keep him a turn here in the last of the sixth inning. Next pitch on the way. Inside and low in the count, 2-2 on Frank. Harkness panning a couple of phantom swings to the on-deck circle. Thomas cocks the bat off the right shoulder. Count two and two. In comes the pitch. Curve is lined and caught by Fano, the third baseman. He timed his swing just right on a hanging curveball and hit a hard line drive face high right at the third baseman, Fano. In the sixth inning, New York, one run on one hit. No errors and none left on. Now six innings complete and the score, the Mets two and the Cubs one. Big cheer going up for Duke as he goes to right field. There'll be a lot of cheers going up here in the Polo Grounds on the 22nd of June when the New York Mets stage their second annual Old Timers Day game. And to tell you more about it, Lindsey Nelson.
All right, Bob Murphy, it's going to be a big day here on June 22nd. Old Timers Day, and the regularly scheduled game will be that between the Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. Al Schacht, the clown prince of baseball, pitcher for the Washington Senators and a coach for that club in the Boston Red Sox for many years, has accepted an invitation to participate here on the 22nd of June. The theme of the game, as you probably know by now, is to honor established major leaguers who were born or reared in the metropolitan area. Schacht, of course, qualifies on all counts. He was born in the Bronx. He says about where the bullpen in Yankee Stadium is now. He was in the American League for more than 20 years. He's now a successful businessman, although, as you know, he takes time out to travel around the country with his famous baseball comedy act, and he'll have it here at the Polo Grounds June 22nd. Johnny Murphy's going to be on hand. Hank Greenberg, Marius Russo, Buddy Hassett, Sal Evars, Monty Irvin, Tommy Holmes, Ralph Branca. We'll be bringing you up to date from day to day because we're going to have a whole host famous baseball players here on June 22nd, Old Timers Day. And we'd suggest you get your tickets right away. Going to the top of the seventh, and Billy Williams is coming up. Left-hand batter, Jay Hook. Winds and fires. Williams moves up as though to bunt, bluffs, and takes the pitch high for ball one. The Mets are out in front here by a score of 2-1. Jay Hook into the pitching motion. And it's fired low for a ball. It's 2-0. The Cubs scored first in the game when they got one run in the top of the first. The Mets got one in the bottom of the fourth on Snyder's home run and have gone ahead here in the bottom of the sixth. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. It's into the upper deck behind the plate. Two balls, one strike to Billy Williams.
Delivers and the pitch is swung on. It's a ground ball towards second. Ron Hunt up with it. Plays on over in time and he's out. So before Ron Santo comes up, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause for station identification.
This is the voice of the Mets in the Great Northeast, WGY Schenectady, a General Electric station. The time is now 6:30.
Bob Murphy at the Polo Grounds. Ron Santo had a sacrifice fly to drive and a run in the top of the first, and he popped it short. In the top of the fourth in the first game, he had 5 for 6. Watch his outside for ball one. Jay Hook started, has come all the way for the New York Mets, looking in now to battery mate Norm Sherry for a sign. He has it. Here's the pitch. Swung on as a high fly ball to left field. Fernandez is going out. Thomas is coming in. Pearsall is there, and Pearsall calls and takes it. So there are two men out with nobody on base as Jimmy Pearsall made the long run in. Carl Fernandez off and made the catch. Two away, and Merritt Renew is coming up. Playing first base for the first time in his life in the major leagues. Fouled out to third and grounded out. Harkness to Hook covering on a fine play in the top of the fourth.
Pitch to the left-hand batter. Low and away for ball one. Merritt Renew was obtained by the Cubs from the Houston Colt 45. Earlier this year, he had a fractured jaw that kept him out of action for a while. He has a bad cock. Hook's pitch, swung on and missed. One and one. Two men out, nobody on base for the Cubs, with the Mets leading by a score of 2-1. Second game of a Memorial Day doubleheader. Cubs won the first game 12-0. Swinging a foul ball, it's out of play. Going on down into the lower deck, back at third. One and two. Andre Rogers is on deck for the Cubs. They started the day in fourth place in the National League standings. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Let up, swung on, fouled off. Count holds at 1-2. Takes a moment here. It's gone over to the rosin bag. Now turns to get his side and starts the motion. The 1-2 pitch is on the way, and it's swung on and missed as he had Renew golfing at a low pitch. Strikeout number 5 for Jay Hook as he sets the side down in order. In the top of the 7th, no runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of 6.5 innings of play, it's the Mets 2, the Cubs 1. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
We're the Brothers Four. Story about our friend, Mr. Pro. Right now, we find that Pro in the midst of a search for a new filter cigarette. He tried a Viceroy cigarette. Uh-huh. I think I'm gonna like it. He found they had the best taste yet. Uh-huh. The taste that's right. After trying all 7 leading filter brands, Mr. Pro is now a Viceroy fan.
Seventh inning, the New York Mets will be sending up Tim Harkness, who has been in a hot streak of late. In the first game, he had 3 hits and a walk for a perfect day at the plate. And this game, he has grounded out second to first and then flied out deep to center field. About 450 feet out there where he hit that one. It was taken by Landrum in the warning track. So he's up to lead off here in the bottom half of the 7th. Glenn Hobby, who started for the Cubs, still in the ballgame, starts the pitching motion. And it's low for ball one. Harkness likes to stride and try to kick himself into the pitch. Swings and fouls it back onto the screen. Jim Brewer and Don Elston are now throwing in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs. And Jim Hickman is loosening up in the bullpen area of the New York Mets. That pitch is in there for a call strike. 1-2 now to Tim Harkness. Mets have a thin one-run lead, 2-1. Swing and a miss. Strike him out. Strikeout number 3 for Hobby. One away, nobody on, and shortstop Chico Fernandez is coming up. He struck out swinging, and he grounded out third to first. Hobby looking in for his sign. Pitch a little tight. It had Chico ducking out of there. Ball one is the count. Rod Keneal now on deck for the Mets. Dan Harvey starts the easy motion. And the pitcher's in there for a called strike. It's 1-1. The lights are on here at the Polo Ground. We've had a beautiful day for a holiday doubleheader. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung on. Fouled out. It's 1-2. Pitch is way down low. Fernandez got a little piece of it. Chopped it right off the plate, actually. 1-2. Mets will be here tomorrow night with the Pirates. Saturday afternoon with the Pirates. And a doubleheader on Sunday. The 1-2 pitch. Outside for ball. It's 2-2. Fernandez in and waiting. The first game, shortstop Al Moran fouled the ball off his ankle and was in some pain, but an x-ray has been taken and it's negative. It's 2-2 pitch. Swung on, full foul on the ground, down past Cookie Lavagetto, the coach at third. The count holds at 2-2. Monday night, of course, the Mets will be across the river, Yankee Stadium, take on the New York Yankees in the Mayor's Trophy game. 2-2 pitch. Swung on, foul back. He's still alive with a count of 2-2. Game Monday night, I think, is going to be interesting for a lot of reasons. And I hope you'll make your plans to be on hand. Tickets, of course, are on sale right now and have been for some time, but still some, a lot of very excellent seats available. Here's 2-2 pitch, swung on, fouled off. 2-2. Fernandez wants umpire Ken Burkhardt to look at the ball, so Javi thumps it up there to him. He leaves it in play. Burkhardt firing it on back. Fernandez waits for the 2-2 offering. Checks it and takes high. It's out full now, 3-2. The New York Mets are leading the Chicago Cubs by a score of 2-1, and this the second game of a doubleheader. Glenn Hobby with a payoff pitch. Swung on and popped toward second. Retreating his hubs, he's on the outfield grass and he makes the catch. Two away as Fernandez has popped second, and that brings up Rod Kneale, the third baseman. He has grounded out short to first, and he has popped out to first base. The Mets' first run in this game came in the bottom of the fourth on a home run by Duke Snider, and the second run came in the sixth inning when Pearsall walked, went to third on an infield out by Ron Hunt, and was scored by Snider on a single to center. Here's a pitch high and away for a ball. Rod Kneale swinging the bat. Pitch is low for a ball. Rod Kneale is using a pair of bright yellow Krytok glasses that he and Frank Thomas and several more batters experimented with last year. Here's 2-0 pitch. Backing out of there, breaking ball inside. It's 3-0. So Hobby set for the 3-0 pitch. It's in there for a call strike. Kneale was taking all the way. It's 3-1. Two and out, nobody on base for the Mets, batting in the bottom half of the seventh inning. In this inning, we'll bring you up to date on scores of all the other games in the major leagues. Been a lot of action this holiday. Swing and a drive to left. Gonna be off the wall for Rod Kneale, fielded by Williams. Kneale's on his way to second to throw. Kneale's sliding in, grabs the bag, and is safe with a hook fly to the inside. A double for the hot rod, and he's on in second with two men out. That'll bring up Norm Cherry, the catcher. Time call as Keneal gets up and brings his helmet over to Coach Solly Hemuth, as well as the glasses. He doesn't want to wear the yellow glasses, so Solly Hemuth puts them on. So he'll try the yellow glasses from the coach's box. He doesn't like that he can't see. He takes them off, puts them in his pocket. Norm Cherry stepping into the batter's box. Right-hand batter. Had a ground single in the third inning. Flies to right in the fifth. Keneal leads off the bag in second. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. It's strike one. Still double-barrel action in the bullpen of the Cubs. Tom Cherry waiting as Hobby checks and pitches. Flies the fastball tight. It's one and one. Jay Hook, with the jacket on pitching arm, is kneeling on deck. Hobby has his sign now. He's up and set. Keneal leads at second. The pitch to Cherry. Breaking ball. Misses outside. It's two and one. Cherry outside the batter's box. Settling himself back in now. Mets lead in this game by a score of 2-1. Hobby takes a look at Keneal. Has a stationary lead. Now he lengthens it a little bit. Pitch is swung out and missed. It's 2-2 to Norm Cherry. The Mets have a one-run lead, but they'd like to get Keneal in and lengthen that lead a little bit if they possibly can, because one run is a thin enough lead anytime, anywhere. And it is especially thin at the Polo Grounds, where home runs can come in an instant. Ask Ralph Branca. Cherry in and waiting. Here's a pitch. Swung on. It's a fly ball to center. Don Landrum has it lined up. He's there. Pounds the glove and makes the catch. So in the bottom of the seventh, the Mets got no runs on one hit, no Cub errors, and one Met left. And at the end of seven, the totals are the Mets two runs on five hits and no errors. The Cubs one run on one hit and no errors. Now let's take a look at scores all around the major leagues this holiday. The National League, in the first game of a doubleheader, the Pirates defeated the Phils 7-1 as Cardwell beat Mahaffey. They're playing in the ninth inning of the second game with the Phils leading by a score of 6-5. Ray Cuff started for the Phils, Clipstein in the sixth. Gibbons started for Pittsburgh. Sisk in the fifth. Haddock's in the seventh. McBean in the seventh. Covington homered in the fifth with one on. Keep in mind, the Pirates will be in here tomorrow night and again on Saturday in a doubleheader on Sunday. Milwaukee Braves defeated the Dodgers today, 7-4. Warren Spahn the winner. That's number 334 for Spahn in his career. He sets a record every time he wins a ballgame. He's won seven this year and lost three. Don Drysdale was the loser. Henry Aaron hit his 15th home run of the year for the Milwaukee Braves, and Jim Gilliam homered for the Dodgers. The Cardinals beat the Colts 45-9-5. Sadecki the winner for St. Louis, and Dick Farrell was the loser for Houston. Stan Musial homered in the third with two on, number eight this season, number 471 in his career. The Giants play the Reds in Cincinnati tonight. The American League, the Yankees beat the Red Sox in 10 innings, 6-5. Ralph Terry all the way for the win. He's won six and lost four. Early took the loss. Maris homered for the Yanks. Stewart homered, and Brasseau hit two for the Boston Red Sox. The Kansas City Athletics beat the Orioles 7-2. Rocco the winner, Steve Barber the loser. Ed Charles homered in the sixth with one on. First game of a doubleheader, the White Sox beat the Cleveland Indians 8-4. Fisher the winner, Walker the loser. The second game is scoreless through three innings, Lattman against Peters. And a game that started at 11 o'clock this morning, Minnesota time, the Twins defeated the Washington Senators 3-2. Pasquale the winner, Cheney the loser. Bob Allison homered in the second with nobody on. And at the end of seven innings, the Detroit Tigers lead the Los Angeles Angels 1-0. And now at least 2-0 as Gus Triandos is homered in the eighth with nobody on. Hanky Gary pitching for Detroit. Turley started for the Angels. Lee in the seventh. Mel Nelson in the seventh. And Art Fowler in the eighth. Right here, we're going to the top half of the eighth, and Andre Rogers is up to lead off for the Chicago Cubs. He's a right-hand batter who has grounded out third to first and struck out swinging. Jay Hook starts the motion, and here's the pitch. In there for a called strike. The Cubs got their one run in the top of the first when, with one out, Ken Hubbs hit a little pop down the right field line. Second baseman Hunt came over. Here's a pitch low. Hunt got to the ball just about at the line, could not control it, and played it on over into the corner. And before he could retrieve, thinking it was a foul ball, Ken Hubbs had pulled up at third. It was scored as a triple. Here's a 1-1 pitch, swung on, foul back. It's 1-2. And then Ken Hubbs was scored from third on a sacrifice fly to center by Ron Santo. That has accounted for all the Cubs scoring in this ballgame. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Rogers. Swung on, and there's a fly ball deep to left. Going back is Jim Hickman, and Hickman makes the catch, having just come into the game in place of Frank Thomas. So Rogers flies out to Jim Hickman in left field. Hickman put out there in place of Thomas as a defensive move by manager Casey Stengel. This is Don Landrum, a left-hand batter, coming up. He has flied to left and grounded out to first base unassisted. Now Bob Will is swinging bats on deck for the Chicago Cubs. Pitch to Landrum. He's in there for a called strike. Catcher Jim Schaefer due up next, but Bob Will swinging the bat. Here's a swing and a ground ball up the middle. Backhanded by Hunt. He'll have no play, but it did not go through. As Hunt dived for the ball, got it in the glove. It is a base hit. The first hit that the Cubs have had off Jay Hook since the first inning. He had retired 21 consecutive batters in the interim. But it is a base hit for Don Landrum. Second baseman, Ron Hunt, went over, dived, gloved it securely, and then landed on his chest. It had no play. Here's Bob Will batting for catcher Jim Schaefer. Bob Will is used primarily as a pinch hitter by the Chicago Cubs. He has been up 18 times this year and has two hits. Dick Bertel is out on deck now, swinging bats for the Chicago Cubs. Don Elston, the right-hander, is throwing in the bullpen for the Cubs. Here is the pitch to Will. It swung on and fouled back onto the screen and out of play. And Roger Craig is up and moving around in the bullpen for the New York Mets. The Mets lead here by a score of 2-1. The Cubs have a runner at first, representing potential tying run. There's one man out. Here is a throw over, a leisurely throw, not in time. Now the pitch to Will. Misses outside. It's 1-1. Now Ernie Banks is at the bat rack for the Chicago Cubs. Ernie Banks is over in the corner getting a bat. He came in here, flew into New York from Chicago between games of the doubleheader, has not appeared in either game today. Bertel is being called back. Here's the pitch high. 2-1. So the strategy wheels are turning here. The Mets call time. Sherry walks out toward the mound. Rod Caneal walks over from third base. Roger Craig now up and throwing in the bullpen of the Mets. Bob Wills, a left-hand batter. Count to him, 2 balls and 1 strike. Don Landrum leads off the bag at first. Has excellent speed. Pitch is swung on, foul back. Into the upper deck, behind the plate, out of play. It's 2-2. Glenn Hobby scheduled up next. The man in the on-deck circle right now is leadoff man Lou Brock. As Coach Bob Kennedy is not going to tip his hand yet. Here's the pitch low, blocked by Sherry. 3-2. Full count to pinch hitter Will. Coach Verlin Walker looking into the dugout to see what manager Bob Kennedy wants him to put on here with one man out. Landrum at first. Jay Hook takes off the glove to rub up the ball, and Landrum goes back to the bag at first. Mets 2, the Cubs 1. Top half of the eighth inning. Landrum leads it first. Throw over. Not in time. He gets back. Jay Hook would like to keep a short halter on him if possible. He's running as a swing and a foul ball. Back and out of play. So they had Landrum going on 3-2, one man out. Landrum checks with Coach Lou Klein at first base. Jay Hook is up and set now. Landrum's running again. Pitch is swung on and fouled off. Count holds full. That's 3-2, and that'll bring Landrum back again. Lou Klein at first base, the coach, is wearing the helmet discarded by base runner Landrum. Looks a great deal like a hat salesman just starting out to make his round. Landrum leads. Running again. And the pitch is outside. He walks, and so there's no play on Landrum. He stopped about halfway down, but the pitch is a ball, and there's no play on him. He goes to second. Will has walked, giving the Cubs runners at first and second with one man out. And let's see now who we got to get. It's Ernie Banks. Bob Kennedy stopped to talk to him, and here comes Ernie Banks out of the dugout to bat for Glenn Hobby. He'll be announced. His wife underwent an emergency operation in Chicago, and he was there yesterday after having played here the night before and stayed overnight and then flew in here this afternoon. Ernie Banks was voted most valuable player in the National League in consecutive years. Ever dangerous, he has 8 home runs this year and 22 runs batting in. His batting average is .203. Runners lead at first and second. Jay Hook steps off the rubber, bluffs, and makes no throw. Looked at second, looked at first, no one covering. Now Hook sets again with the pitch to Ernie Banks. It's in there for a called strike one. One man out. The Phils defeated the Pirates 6-5 in the second game of their doubleheader, as Ray Culp was the winner and Joe Gibbon was the loser. So the Phils and the Pirates split their doubleheader today. Jay Hook checks and deals to Banks. And it's in there for a call, strike two. Ernie Banks steps back. It's a handful of dirt, and Norm Cherry calls time now and heads to the mound to hold a conference with Jay Hook. All the action of this Memorial Day is over in the National League with the exception of this game. There is no other National League action going, as the Phils and the Pirates split their doubleheader, the Braves beat the Dodgers, and the Cardinals beat the Houston Colts 45. Tonight, the Giants play the Cincinnati Reds. Roger Craig still is throwing in the bullpen for the Mets, and he has been joined now by left-hander Ken McKenzie. Ernie Banks standing in with a 2-strike count. Don Landrum, the base runner at second. Bob Will, the base runner at first. Hook stepped off the rubber now as Ron Hutt circled around over behind the bag at second, and Hook stepped off the rubber to give Hutt time to get back into position. Ernie Banks waits with a two-strike count. The pitch is high for ball. He had back, way back out of there, but time had not been called by Burkhart. And now he is talking to Ernie Banks. And he had made no sign, and he indicates now it is a ball, and Chris Pelikutis was asking also as Hook had asked him, and it is ball one and strike two. Banks had backed out, actually, but no time had been called. Now runners lead again at first and second. This pitch is fired just a little low, and Hook thinks he should have got a call. On the glove. 2-2, the count to Ernie Banks. Jimmy Pearsall in center field lined up behind second, also protesting from way out there. First, it was a big pitch there, because now the count is out 2-2 on Ernie Banks with runners at first and second. That runner at second represents potential tying run. Now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. Struck him out. Jay Hook got pinch hitter Ernie Banks swinging for his sixth strikeout of this game, and Lou Brock is coming up. Brock has been up three times. He popped to short. He grounded out pitcher to first, and he flies to center. So Jay Hook is not out of the woods yet. Don Elston continues to throw in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs as Glenn Hobby is now out of the ballgame. Banks hit for him. Hook now is set, and here's the pitch to Brock. It's inside for ball. The Mets 2, the Cubs 1. With the Cubs batting in the top half of the eighth inning of the second game of this Memorial Day doubleheader. Hook is set. Pitch to the left-hand batter. In there for a called strike. It's 1-1. Lou Brock swings the bat as he waits. Two men out. Cal Kuntz now warming in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs. His pitch is out, a breaking ball, and Brock almost went. He was just holding up, barely. It's 2-1. Young Cal Kuntz is the man throwing the bullpen now for the Chicago Cubs. Jay Hook has gone behind. The Lou Brock, two balls, one strike. Now he comes down off the mound to pick up a piece of paper that is distracting him there and puts it in his hip pocket. Hook looks in to get his sign. He has it. Runners lead at first and second. The 2-1 pitch. Swung on and it's looped towards second. And Hutt picks it up and goes on in time. He got it on the short hop and played it on over to first. As Chris Pelikutis, the umpire, indicated that it was not an out at that point because he didn't get it on the fly. He short hopped it and then played it on over. And time to get Brock. So in the top of the eighth, the Cubs got no runs, one hit, no errors, two left. And at the end of 7.5 innings of play, it's the Mets 2, the Cubs 1.
My beer is Rhine Gold, just try beer. Think of Rhine Gold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet, it's the dry flavor.
enjoy famous Rheingold Extra Dry in the new Chug-A-Mug. It's the first and only beer container with a wide mouth and a top that's so easy to open. Just pull the tab on top straight out, then straight up and off. You drink right from the Chug-A-Mug. No glasses, no opener, no deposits, no fooling. Chug-A-Mug holds the same and costs the same as the 12-ounce can. Buy it now wherever famous Rheingold Extra Dry is sold.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Chug-A-Mug, it's a new way to buy beer. Better get some today.
Chug-A-Mug, what you say?
What a great way to drink Rheingold beer.
A battery change now for the Chicago Cubs. Don Elston, a right-hander, is coming to pitch, and Dick Bertel is catching. As the Mets come up in the bottom half of the eighth inning, Elston is making his 15th game appearance. He has won two and lost none. He has pitched 18 and two-thirds innings in which he has allowed only two runs, only 10 hits. His earned run average, 0.47. The pitch to Jay Hook is in there for a called strike. Don Elston again starts the big motion. Pitch to the left-hand batter. Sails high for a ball. It's 1-1. Elston has struck out 15 and walked only 6 in his relief appearances this year. Cal Kunz continues to throw in the Cub bullpen. That pitch is in there for a called strike. It's 1-2. Swung on, it's a ground ball towards third. Ron Santo is up with it. Throws on to first in time for the out. It'll be Pearsall coming up before he does in order to allow our stations to identify themselves. We pause for station identification.
This is the voice of the Mets in the Great Northeast, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around. The time, 4 minutes past 7.
At the Polo Grounds in New York, Jimmy Pearsall started up, got almost to the plate, turns and comes back to the on-deck circle to get the rosin bag. Swings another bat as he comes on up. Pearsall in this game has lined to center, he has slid to right, and he walked and later scored in the bottom half of the sixth. The Mets are leading by a score of 2-1. Don Elston. Into the motion. And it misses outside for a ball. As Pearsall bluffs. As a matter of fact, umpire Ken Burkhardt almost bluffed. It's a ball. Fired low, it's 2-0. Mets got their first run of this game in the bottom of the fourth on a home run lined into the lower deck and right by Duke Snyder. Snyder knocked in the second run, scored Pearsall from third base. After Elston started to pump, Pearsall backed out of the batter's box. And Ken Burkhardt talks to him about that. Elston had started to pump when Pearsall backed out, and now Ken Burkhardt had a word to say to him about that, and Pearsall is just engaging in a conversation. They aren't arguing about it at the moment. Elston again getting the sign. And now the 2-0 pitch. Low, it's 3-0. 1 man out, nobody on base for the Mets batting in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Ron Hunt is kneeling in the on-deck circle. This is a 3-0 pitch. And it's taken high, ball four. He walked it. That's the second time Pearsall has walked in this game. Brings up Ron Hunt with one away. They played a little hit and run on the first pitch under similar circumstances in the bottom half of the eighth. I read the bottom half of the sixth. So let's see how they play it here. Finally, Hunt hit a little dribbler down to third, and Pearsall went all the way to third on it. This time he squares to Button and pitches outside for a ball. Duke Snyder's on deck for the Mets. Hunt's looking down to Cookie LaVigetta to see what exactly Casey Stengel wants in this circumstance. Pearsall leads it first. Here's a throw over. It's not in time. Merritt Veneu, the first baseman there. The Mets lead 2-1. Don Elson is up and set. Squares to Bunt again and takes the pitch. And Ken Burkhardt says it's a ball, 2-0. Catcher Dick Bertel was inquiring whether or not he actually tried to bunt the ball, and Ken Burkhardt indicates no, he pulled the bat back. So it is a ball. 2-0. So twice, the sacrifice has been on here. Wasn't on in, it's a called strike. Fastball in there, 2-1. Lindy McDaniel has joined Cal Kuntz now, throwing in the bullpen. Kuntz is just about finished up. He's putting his jacket on at this moment. The count is 2-1 to Hunt as Pearsall leads. Goes back to the bag at first. Throw over again. Trying to keep Pearsall close to the bag. Hunt's out of the batter's box at the moment. Now he comes in. Elson is up and set. He squared the bunt. The pitch is low. Pops out of the glove of Bertel. He recovers. No advance. Runs the count. 3-1. So again, after laying off on one pitch, Casey had the sacrifice on again. Let's see what he does here. 3-1. Manager's delight as far as the hit and run count's concerned. Here's a throw over. Pearsall goes back to the bag at first. He's running, swinging a ground ball to the right side. It is taken by Hub. He'll have to go to first, and he does in time. Had the hit and run out on 3-1, and Hunt is grounded out. It's Lou Pearsall to second, and Snyder's coming up. So you see, with the hit and run, the very same thing is achieved that would have been achieved had the sacrifice worked, but Hunt is charged with the time at bat. Say, there's no time like the present. What better way to use it than to pour yourself a tall, cold glass of Rheingold Extra Dry? You know, Rheingold is beer, and beer should say it. Dry tells you why. Snyder is being intentionally walked. Snyder is being walked intentionally. It's ball one. It's ball two. Jim Hickman is on deck. Here is ball three. Ball four. Snyder goes to first with an intentional walk. Jim Hickman has now been called back, but comes out of the dugout again, heads on up. Just called back for a little advice, that's all. With first base open, Snyder having knocked in both the runs the Mets have in this ball game, head coach Bob Kennedy of the Cubs ordered him pass. This is Hickman's first time up in this game. He's a right-hand batter. Don Elson, a right-hand pitcher, delivers, and it's low for a ball. The Detroit Tigers have shut out the Los Angeles Angels 3-0. Hank DeGary is the winner. He's 4-4 now. And Bob Turley was the loser. He's 1-4. Time is called. Dick Burchell goes out to check with Don Elston. The Mets lead in this game by a score of 2-1 in their batting in the bottom half of the eighth inning. If you'd like to look ahead to the top of the ninth, the Cubs are scheduled to send up Kenny Hubbs, Billy Williams, and Ron Santo, the heart of the power. Number 2, 3, and 4 men in the batting order. Swing and a miss. 1-1. Pitches outside for ball. It's 2-1. Two men out, two men on for the Mets. Elston is up and set. Pitches outside, the throw down to first, and Snyder slides back in safely. Merritt Renew, the first baseman. 3-1. Now to Hickman. Bob Kennedy getting on the phone down in the dugout of the Chicago Cubs. Here's a swing and a foul ball back and out of play. That's his phone to the bullpen. The count is run full now, 3-2 to Hickman with two men out. The runners will be going. Pearsall at second and Snyder at first. Left-hander Jim Brewer is up and throwing along with right-hander Lindy McDaniel, who sits down now in the bullpen of the Cubs. Hickman is waiting for a 3-2 pitch. Elston is up and set. The runners go, and the pitch is swung out, and there's a fly ball to left center field. Landrum is over, and so is Williams. Landrum calls, pounds his glove, and makes the catch. So Hickman is flying to center, and in the bottom of the eighth, the Mets got no runs on no hits, no errors, two walks, and two men left. And at the end of eight, it's the Mets 2, the Cubs 1. Well, if you follow the New York Mets day by day, week after week, as so many fans around the New York area do, you can do it better with a copy of the Mets yearbook. The first edition was sold out completely, and the second edition is now available. It's a revised edition with a lot of information that wasn't in the first one. For instance, biographies of Duke Snyder, Ed Cranebull, Ron Hunt, Carl Willie. It's a four-color book. Mr. Mets on the front cover, 100 pictures inside, and a page of autographs. Many special articles, stories about Casey Stengel, the coaches, Shea Stadium, Stadiorama scoreboard, and many other features. If you'd like a copy of the 1963 Met Revised Yearbook, send 50 cents to Met Yearbook, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. The Mets, of course, Monday night will be over at Yankee Stadium to take on the Yankees in the Mayor's Trophy game. That's the game played for the benefit of Sandlot Baseball in New York City. Tickets are now on sale at all Met ticket outlets, or you can get your tickets by mail. The address is Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York, 39, New York. We're going to the top of the ninth. New York Mets with Jay Hook on the mound. Keep the bullpen ready with double barrel action. Left-hander Ken McKenzie, right-hander Roger Craig. It'll be Ken Hubbs coming up to lead off for the Chicago Cubs. He had a home run in the first game here this afternoon. He had a triple, what was scored as a triple, and scored the only run that the Cubs have in this game, and that occurred in the first inning. Barney Schultz, the knuckleballer, is now up and throwing in the bullpen for the Cubs. Jay Hook, set to deliver, and it's in there for a called strike. Top half of the ninth inning. Hook says triple, flies to center, and grounded out third to first. His batting average is .281. His batting average is .281. Swings and fouls it off. Right down to Verlin Walker, coaching at third. Swung on a breaking ball. It's a two-strike count. The Cubs won the first game of today's doubleheader here by a score of 12-0. The Mets are leading in this one by a score of 2-1. Hooks pitches outside for ball. It's 1-2. The Mets have an outfield defense of Jim Hickman in left, Jim Pearsall in center, and Duke Snyder in right. His pitch is swung on and missed. Struck him out. Strikeout number 7 for Jay Hook. One away. Nobody on for the Cubs. Top half of the ninth, and Billy Williams is coming up. He has walked, grounded out to Tim Harkness, making the play over to Hook covering, and grounded out second to first. Billy Williams has a batting average of .280. Jay Hook with the easy motion. Fires it in for a called strike one. Fastball. Again, Hook is set. Tries the breaking ball outside. 1-1. Memorial Day crowd of 37,170 paid here this afternoon. A fine turnout. Swinging a ground ball towards first. Hook will have to go to the bag as Harkness makes the play over to Hook in time. He's out. Harkness went for the ball. Hook went for the bag, and they pulled it off. Two away, nobody on. Ron Santo, batting cleanup in the batting order of the Cubs. He's coming up now with two men out and nobody on base. He had a sacrifice fly to center to drive in the Cub run in the first. He popped to short in the fourth inning and flied to center in the seventh. In the first game here today, he struck out the first time up and then got five straight base hits to go 5-for-6. Jay Hook with the pitch, and it's high for ball. Two men out, nobody on base. Hook touches his fingertips to the rosin bag. Now up on the rubber, looking in to get the sign from Norm Sherry. Here's the pitch. Swung on and popped up to the infield at shortstop. Fernandez calls. He waits on the infield grass. The game is over. The New York Mets have defeated the Cubs. Jay Hook with a fine pitching performance. A two-hitter hurled here by Jay Hook. He's all smiles as he turns and comes over. Casey Stengel goes all the way out to shake his hand because Jay Hook has been having his troubles of late. Tommy Hemus comes over to shake his hand. So does Lynn Lisher, the assistant trainer. Jay Hook with a tremendous performance here at the Polo Grounds as he limited the Cubs to one run, and they got that on a pop down the right field line in the first inning that went for a triple, and then Santo had a sacrifice fly to bring in that run. Well, the Pirates will be here tomorrow night. They'll be here Saturday afternoon and a doubleheader Sunday. Tickets are now on sale for the Pirates series and for future games of the New York Mets. We'll be back in a moment with a final summary and totals here, but right now the final score once again, the Mets 2, the Cubs 1. Well, you know, what was true in 1910 was true in 1940, and it's true today, too. I'm talking about baseball players. The mark of a great ball player in 1910 is the same in 1963. A truly great player has that extra something. He's got the ability to come up with the big hit or to make that extra special catch. And it's that extra something that makes him great. And that's true with beer, too. Rheingold has that extra something that lifts it out of the ordinary. And it's on every label, extra dry. Yes, those two words tell you why Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Tell you why Rheingold is a truly great beer. Rheingold Extra Dry has a flavor that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. It's everything you want in beer. It quenches your thirst quicker. It's more refreshing. It's easy to enjoy. But you'll find that out for yourself. Next time, enjoy Rheingold Extra Dry. See why millions say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Well, Well, the New York Mets and the Chicago Cubs have split a doubleheader here at the Polo Grounds, as the Cubs won the first game by a score of 12 to nothing, and they did it by scoring 10 big runs in the top half of the fourth inning. They got eight of them off Al Jackson, who had started, and they got the other two off Larry Benarth, who came in to relieve him before Don Rowe finally came in to put out the fire. Larry Jackson went all the way to get the victory, the shutout win for the Chicago Cubs. Ron Santo had five for six in that first game. Kenny Hubbs had the only home run. And for the Mets, Tim Harkness had three hits, three for three and a walk, to bear the brunt of the attack for the New York Mets. The second game was something else again, as Jay Hook got his first start since the opening game of the San Francisco series on the recent road trip. After that, manager Casey Stengel relegated him to the bullpen to try to get him straightened out. And apparently he did, because Jay Hook came on here today in the top half of the first inning with one out. Ken Hubbs popped the ball down back at first base. Ron Hunt coming over to play the ball near the line, got a glove on it, couldn't handle it, and played it on over into the corner. He thought it was foul all the time, did not hustle to retrieve it. And by the time he got the ball, Ken Hubbs was at third base. Then after Billy Williams walked, Ron Santo went out on a sacrifice fly to center, with Hubbs tagging up, scoring after the catch. The Cubs were out in front, 1-0. But after that, Jay Hook retired 21 consecutive batters until Don Landrum was on with an infield hit in the top of the eighth inning. It was a clean base hit, fielded cleanly by Hunt, who had no play on the ball. He kept it from going through. And then Bob Will batted for Schaefer and walked, but Hunt pitched himself out by striking out pinch hitter Ernie Banks and getting Lou Brock to ground out. Then he retired the side in order in the top of the ninth. So it's Jay Hook's victory, along with Duke Snider, because the Duke hit a home run in the bottom of the fourth to tie the score at 1-1. Then Pearsall walked in the sixth. He went from first to third on an infield out by Ron Hunt, and then was scored on a clean single to center by Duke Snider. So Snider, with two for three and a walk in the second game, drove in both the Met runs. Here are the final totals in the second game. The Mets, two runs on five hits and no errors, five men left. The Cubs, one run, only two hits, no errors, and three men left. The winner is Jay Hook, of course, and the loser is Glenn Hobby. So the Mets and the Cubs split their Memorial Day doubleheader here at the Polo Grounds before 37,170 paid. And that's just about the story of what happened here this afternoon. This broadcast came to you through the courtesy of Liebman Breweries, Brooklyn, New York, brewer since 1837, and the Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation. B&W, the mark of quality in tobacco products. This broadcast authorized under radio rights granted to the New York Mets solely for the entertainment of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express written consent of the New York Mets is prohibited. Right now, I'd like to remind you to enjoy Viceroy cigarettes. In familiar soft packer, new slide top case, Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now, this is Lindsey Nelson saying so long for Bob Murphy, Ralph Kiner, our engineer Joe Burnham, our statistician Matt Winnick, our producer Joe Gallagher, and for Rheingold, Rheingold Extra Dry. Those two little words, extra dry, tell you why Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Why Rheingold is preferred by more New Yorkers than any other beer. Rheingold is brewed from the very choicest ingredients, brewed the long, slow, costly way for flavor that is brisk and bright and clean clear through. So fill up your glass with a nice, cold, ice-cold, refreshing glass of good Rheingold Extra Dry. The Mets and the Cubs split the doubleheader. The Cubs win the first game 12-0. The Mets win the second 2-1 on a two-hitter by Jay Hook. So long, everybody. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.